got no dental floss. Never seen an albatross. Never been to Waikiki. Been as poor as poor can be. Get my clothes at Goodwill stores. Never do have to lock my doors. I ain't got no doors to lock. That's all right with me. Can't pay my dues. One lump sum. Tweedly dee, tweedly dum. You don't think I've seen enough bad times to qualify. I don't get no electric bills. Think too much, thinking feels. Long, lonely, lonely nights, and there's ain't no love around. They roll. Will somebody come and roll my stone away? Turn around, now is then. Wonder why, wonder when. Guess shouldn't worry so. I ain't got no banking plan. Wake up with a shaking hand. I wish I could know I can go on. Bother me, I only know what I can see, and I can see that I'll be gone a long time. I ain't got no dental floss, I never seen an albatross, never been to Waikiki, been as poor as poor can be, get my clothes at Goodwill stores, never do have to lock my doors. Got no doors to lock, but that's all right with me.
Thanks and good night.
I'm Steph Green, and you're listening to WMUCFM.
It's time to party! Woo!
You like me, don't you?
Well, yeah.
So we like each other, so why not?
I like you, but not too.
But you want to, don't you? Don't you?
Well, maybe.
I have protection. Are you worried about...
No, it's not that. I just don't know.
Guys, times have changed for everyone. I just don't know is not a yes. And when it comes to sex, take maybe as a no.
Hello, hello. You are listening to WMUC Digital College Park, where college radio is good radio. And you are listening to Off the Shelf, my show. I'm your host, Grace Adkins, every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to noon. Sorry, guys, I'm running a little bit late. Getting through the ice and snow is treacherous. And then the traffic lights were just not on my side this morning. But yeah, but I'm here. And I'm excited. Welcome back. I'm going to play a quick PSA while I get everything set up. And then we will get right into it. And I can't wait for today's show. But for now, just sit back, relax, and listen to a PSA.
Papers throughout the semester, stress can sometimes feel unavoidable. Most people believe stress can only be harmful and try to avoid it. Recent research suggests the opposite, to embrace stress when it comes. Here are three ways stress does your mind and body good. 1. Stress correlates to a lower risk of premature death. 2. Stress boosts the production of neurons that may improve performance. And 3. Bursts of stress may strengthen the immune system. So the next time you feel stressed for an upcoming paper or exam, don't try to fend it off. Instead, embrace stress as your body's natural preparation to to complete your upcoming challenge. Good luck!
Okay, hello. I know that they have soundproofed the studio, but someone decided to practice drumming at 10 a.m. So if you hear any bleeding coming through, it's a drummer. I'm trying to practice being patient and kind in 2026. So, hi, the next two shows are my favorite two shows of the entire semester. We have my Heartbreak and Heartache episode, which is today, and then my Valentine's Day Love is in the Air episode. To give a little backstory, Valentine's Day is my favorite holiday, which I know is not a popular pick, but it's my favorite. I love Valentine's Day. I think it is very romantic that we celebrate a holiday all about warmth and love in the dead of winter in what is typically considered the worst, coldest, most awful, disgusting month. Not a lot of people love February. I don't even like February that much, but I do love Valentine's Day, and I'm super excited. And I do these shows as a two-parter because I love love in all its forms, friendship, romantic, familial, all the above. But what I find so wonderful about love and its abundance in the universe is that you also have to kind of romanticize, in a sense, sadness and grief and loneliness and annoyance and all those kind of more bad, quote unquote, emotions, to appreciate the good ones, because, you know, you wouldn't know such joy, such love, if you didn't know heartbreak and pain and, being disappointed. So that's kind of what today's show is all about. And I actually wrote part of a script for today's show, part of an outline. I'm usually not as organized, but I was feeling these are my favorite two shows. So, yeah, today I'm going to be talking all things yearning, breakups, annoyance, anger, and all the fun side effects of having a crush, losing a friend, or being in love. Because, as we all know, and to quote Fleabag, love is awful. It's just awful. It's painful. It's frightening. It makes you doubt yourself, judge yourself, distance yourself from the other people in your life. It makes you selfish. It makes you creepy. It makes you obsessed with your hair. It makes you cruel. Makes you say and do things you never thought you would do. It's all any of us want, and it's hell when we get there. So no wonder it's something we don't want to do on our own. Just as much as love surrounds us, so does heartbreak. Perhaps it's too simple and amusing, but you cannot know joy without pain. Today's show, I'm going to be breaking it up into some musings on heartbreak, some of your favorite heartbreak songs and why music speaks to us, anxiety, anger, sadness, and acceptance, which are my four stages of getting over someone, situationships and love in the modern age, why we hate men as women, and then just some general advice. It's going to be a fun show. We've got two full hours. I'm going to get myself a little bit more organized. This drummer is pissing me off. I'm sorry. He's or she, I don't know. I have no idea who's in there. Is really going at it, but I'm assuming it's a man because it's just really annoying me. Anyways, I'm going to start us off with one of my favorite songs that I've been listening to a lot by REM. My dad told me to put this one on the show. This is going to be Strange Currencies, and then we'll be right back.
Turn you out, figure you out. I wanna take you on. here is my appeal. I need a chance, a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, a word, a signal, not a little breath, just to fool myself, catch myself, make it real.
All right, you just listened to Strange Currencies by REM. So, to kind of give you an overarching theme for today's show, and I think it's just quite ironic that also nothing today has been going my way. I woke up late. My hair looks awful. Thank God you can only hear my voice. I don't feel good. I was like running late. The traffic lights, I just spilled coffee all over myself, so we're kind of rolling with the punches today. And you know what? Sometimes that's kind of translates to rolling with the punch. And this drummer, my God. Sorry, I'm gonna get over it. That's kind of also with heartbreak, you kind of have to roll with the punches sometimes. I recently read a novel and I really wanted to share this kind of overarching theme, is that sadness and heartbreak and isolates us. It makes us lonely. It makes us hyper aware of, and I'm paraphrasing the quote here, it makes us hyper aware of every feeling, every thought that we have, of our own singularity in the world and our own experiences. Because when we're sad, we really reflect and become introspective, like, wow, I can't believe I have the experience of being able to feel this way. While, you know, joy and love is kind of a collective thing. It makes us, you know, it makes us forget that we're so alone, which is beautiful in many ways. But I think that, you know, the introspection of heartbreak is what kind of propels a lot of good things as well. Like, I know no one likes the feeling, and you know, I don't want to ever like romanticize too much the idea of being sad, because, you know, being sad is kind of not great. No one wants to be sad. But, you know, heartbreak specifically, whether it be over something romantic, something platonic, something familial, something individualistic, maybe you have a heartbreak over missed opportunities or feeling like you haven't done enough or something like that. It individualizes us, and it just produces these wonderful kind of introspections that push creative boundaries. So many of, you know, people's most favorite songs and most beautiful songs are sad ones, right? Like, we love upbeat, happy, kind of dancey songs, but the ones that really speak to our souls are always, in my opinion, the ones that are sad, that really call out to us. Like, one of my favorite songs is Pushing It Down and Praying by Lizzie McAlpine, which we might play later today, but it's one of, like, it's gut-wrenching. Like, I will be listening to it, like, when I'm not even feeling sad, and some of my friends and my roommates will be like, don't turn that on when we're trying to pregame, please. But it's just like, you love it so much because you can relate to it, you can think about it, you can study it, and just tragedy in general is such an important genre. I took an entire class on tragedy last semester, and, you know, it's been around forever, like the tragedy and the comedy, the two central, you know, storylines of, does this end well for everyone or does it not end well? And I think, you know, a lot of things can be generalized into those kind of two categories. And tragedy, too, and what I kind of learned in my tragedy class is tragedy is important because it makes us feel human. And that, you know, joy and love also makes us feel human in a very different way. But there's something so unique about tragedy and about how we look at ourselves when we are not feeling our best. And like, whether it be human resilience and the ability to pick ourselves up, or just the fact that we're able to tear ourselves apart like nothing else in the universe can. Nothing else has that kind of individualistic mindset. And music's really important to tragedy. Like I said, a lot of our favorite songs are sad ones. But it also, like, the music that you listen to when you're upset, I think is very telling. I also, one of my favorite books, Tomorrow and Tomorrow, Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin, I believe. It's one of my favorite books of all time. I've read it like 4 times. It's so good. I have like it annotated so much in my copy that I have at home. But one of the main characters' boyfriends like says to her at some point, like, oh, you only listen to afternoon music. And it's this concept of like these sad kind of songs are afternoon music because no one sane would listen to them during the day when the sun is out. Like it's meant for the evening time, which I thought was just really funny and an interesting concept. But we're going to be playing some of your favorite heartbreak songs and some of mine, kind of all mixed in. I had a lot of responses, but I'm not going to play all of them. We are going to play, I believe, 5 songs. Yeah, we've got time. We've got plenty of time. The first is one that I was listening to in the car last night, and then my friend Campbell recommended it, which I know it's been kind of more popular recently just because of its appearance in a hit Netflix TV show. But we're going to be listening to Purple Rain by Prince, which if you really listen to the lyrics, it is gut-wrenching of a song. And then we have a few of your guys' songs that you've recommended that you listen to when you are not feeling your best. And then we are going to be right back. But I'll see you guys after these 5.
Purple rain. cower in fear in your favorite sweater with an old love letter. I wish you would. I wish you would come pick me up. With the windows clear and the mannequin's eyes, do they all look like mine? You know you could. I wish you would come pick me up.
and it starts sometime around midnight, or at least that's when you lose yourself for a minute or two. As you stand under the bar lights and the band plays some song about forgetting yourself for a while, and the piano's this melancholy soundtrack to her smile, in that white dress she's wearing, you haven't seen her for a while. But you know that she's watching, she's laughing, she's turning, she's holding her tonic like a cross. The room's suddenly spinning, she walks up and asks how you are, so you can smell her perfume, you can see her lying naked in your arms. So there's a change in your emotions, and all these memories come rushing like feral waves to your mind, of the curl of your bodies like two perfect circles entwined. And you feel hopeless and homeless and lost in the haze of the wine. She leaves with someone you don't know, but she made sure you saw her. She looks right at you in both. As she walks out the door, your blood boiling, your stomach in rows. And when your friends say, "What is it you look like?" you've seen a ghost.
Back then, we didn't give a fuck back then. I ain't a the start of nothing new. I could hate you now. It's quite alright to hate me now. But we both know that deep down, the feeling still deep down is good.
She all that you are? Is she all that you need?
Okay, you guys just listened to Purple Rain by Prince, Come Pick Me Up by Ryan Adams, Sometime Around Midnight by the Airborne Toxic Event, Ivy by Frank Ocean, and Back to Me by the Marías. Some of your guys' favorite sad songs to listen to. So next we're going to do a little segment where I'm going to talk you through my patented 4 stages of getting over someone. I'm not an expert in love, but I do consider myself wise for my age, I suppose. So this is what I've broken it up into, because I have had to get over someone before, unfortunately. It is true, my heart has broken, but we're back. And you learn a lesson from every person that, you know, you're friends with, that you've talked to, that you've loved. Whatever. Anyways, my 4 stages are anxiety, anger, sadness, and acceptance. I know that typically the 5 stages are like bargaining, like doubt or whatever it is. But I've started out with anxiety because I think, and we're going to start off talking about anxiety. I think with modern dating, modern relationships, maybe it's just in college, I don't really know. There's a lot of anxiety that surrounds relationships because we have all these new crazy terms like situationship and like talking exclusive. I hate it. I hate it so much. Like if you're going on dates, like I would say, like you're like, oh, I'm seeing them, I'm dating them. Like they might not be, you might not be in a relationship with them, but like we don't need all these terms. If I hear the word situationship exit someone's mouth, like I'm immediately rolling my eyes and I'm saying that's not even, no, that doesn't count. But I also think that just love in the modern age is very different and difficult. I actually read a study recently. It was a anthropology study about marriage. And it kind of talks about the 3 types of marriage. There's marriage of convenience, marriage of partnership, compatibility, and marriage of love. And so marriage of convenience is kind of when you think of like arranged marriages or, you know, marrying off your daughter when she turns 18, like those kind of very, very old fashioned, like way, way back when, kind of types of marriages. Like we need to marry you to the baker's son so that we can have bread, that kind of thing. Marriage of convenience, and then marriage of partnership or compatibility, which was super common kind of, you know, in, you know, the late or the 20th century, like the, when, you know, people started being able to choose who they marry, but it was always very like, who do I work well with the best as like a partner, a parent, who can I be friends with for the next 60 years, right? Like we don't necessarily have this like kind of passionate soulmate sort of thing, but you know, like I like him and I can envision myself talking to him for the next 60 years. I think he'd be a good father. He has a good job. It just, it makes sense. And that's kind of what was very common. And this is why the scientist argues that divorce rates are a lot higher these days, is people are trying to marry for love and get confused and they don't consider other factors. And they're going off of passion alone and how they feel about someone. And that marriage of love is kind of what we all dream of. I know I do. I think like I know people that are dating that are very much in love and kind of very soulmates are like, I always think of like my parents as like they met at 19. They've been married since they were 22. Like they are kind of very like they both called each other like their soulmate. But I think people in modern also go into dating being like, well, if I love them and I feel this very passionate about them, like it has to work. And I think I fall victim to that sometimes as well. I think there's definitely been people in the past where I've been like, I like them so much and like it's gonna work because I like them this much. But like that isn't always true. But it also kind of, that sort of mindset fosters this sort of anxiety that is kind of the beginning of getting over someone, when you can feel that maybe it's not working, but you want it to stay, right? And you know, people can work through their issues. Like, I think communication is the best channel. You know, I believe in divine timing and, you know, the
the sayings that everything's going to work out. And we're going to talk about that later. But I think that this mindset of the general population, I know a lot of my friends who are like kind of that I can fix him sort of mindset. A lot of my friends have this, and then they get really anxious because like this guy, you know, is maybe like for lack of a better word, like a deadbeat. Like he's a degenerate. Like this is not your soulmate and everyone knows it except for you. And that's why you're anxious. So anxiety is kind of that first stage. And we're going to listen to, I've picked one song for each stage, which was difficult, but we're going to listen to It Ain't Me, Babe by Joan Baez, because I think her version's better than Bob Dylan's version. If you disagree with me, let me know. But this is kind of, I think, sums up sort of the anxiety that a lot of people have these days and that first stage of having to get over someone. So here's It Ain't Me, Babe, and we'll be back.
Chosen speed. I'm not the one you want, babe. I'm not the one you need. You say you're looking for someone never weak but always strong to protect you and defend you, whether you right or wrong, someone to open each and every door, but it ain't me, babe. No, 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 it ain't me, babe. It ain't me you're looking for, babe. Go lightly from the ledge, babe. Lightly on the ground. I'm not the one you want, babe. I will only let you down. You say you're looking for someone who will promise never to part. Someone who'll close his eyes for you. Someone who'll close his heart. Someone who'll die for you and more. But it ain't me, babe. No, 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 it ain't me, babe. It ain't me you're looking for, babe. Go melt back into the night, babe. Everything inside me is stone. There's nothing in here moving. And anyway, I'm not alone. You say you're looking for someone to pick you up each time you fall. Together, flowers constantly, and to come each time you call. A lover for your life and nothing more, but it ain't me, babe. No, 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 it ain't me, babe. It ain't me you're looking for, babe.
Okay, you guys just listened to It Ain't Me, Babe by Joan Baez. So I asked some of you guys, what is the craziest thing that you've ever done to get over someone? And some of our answers include, a couple of you guys actually said started running. That's pretty popular. I actually know several people that have run 10Ks, half marathons because of a situationship. Sorry, I know. Situationship breakup, and that kind of spurred them to start running. Running is great when you are upset at someone. Like, some of my best runs have been when I'm angry. I think I ran my PR mile time when I was pissed I listened to Alanis Morissette's You Oughta Know like 3 times in a row and ran like a 6-minute mile. It was awesome. Imagine them getting out of the shower and slipping. That's a good one. I'll have to use that someday. This is a good one. I will not reveal this person, but this person's ex-boyfriend sucked. And the day after they broke up, he got hit by a car. No joke, literally got hit by a car and posted it on his Instagram story that he got hit by a car. And she sent it to all of us, like, and it was actually like he was fine. So it was funny, but that one was crazy. So imagine them getting hit by a car, I guess. This one's funny. Bought a Minecraft pinata and beat it to the ground in front of a group of guys I didn't even know. That one's good. I don't know what the craziest thing I've done to get over someone is. Maybe just start running. I don't know. I think I've like, I don't know. I've thought about like fleeing the country, but I don't have those kinds of funds. But if I had those kinds of funds and I had to get over someone, I would just leave and like go to Paris or something. But yeah, but next up we've got anger. This is our second stage. And anger, I think, is good for a short period of time. I don't like to have bad blood with people. I kind of like the idea of having no enemies, but it is fun to be angry sometimes. And to just like really be angry about something, because if someone's done you wrong, like you're allowed to be angry. And anger is good too, because it kind of allows you to think about all the things that you don't like about a person. Like, I know anyone that's ever broken up with a boyfriend has been like, and this is what I hated about him, and this and this and this. Like, all my friends have said stuff like that, and that kind of anger kind of moves you forward, I guess, in a way. To make you guys angry, also, I asked you guys some of the craziest things that have ever been said to you by someone. And I have was breaking up with me and asked, can I still text you about professional stuff and how to work LinkedIn? I could get into UMD easily, but for you, it's 50-50. We could date, but I'd have to cheat on you a little bit. I like you, but there's something wrong with you, and all my friends agree. And I cheated on you. Be good to yourself, as a confession. Some crazy stuff. I have some crazy things, but, you know, I don't want to share too much on the air. You'll have to ask me personally. But I hope you're all feeling angry. We're going to be listening to, and sometimes I do wish I was a boy when I was listening to this song, because I would really rock out to it. This is also just one of my favorite songs of all time, but we're going to listen to Better Man by Pearl Jam. And me and my friend Campbell were talking about this the other day. And when you really listen to the lyrics, like, the song is kind of like crazy. Like, the narrator is basically saying, like, yeah, like, the guy that you're dating right now doesn't even matter, because you know that I'm the better man and you're going to come back to me. And I think that's kind of that good kind of anger, like, I am awesome and it's your loss kind of energy that I'm looking for when I'm being angry about something. So yeah, we're going to listen to Better Man by Pearl Jam, and then we'll be right back.